Does anyone remember the kind of prayers, anything that the prayers that Indra offered? Remember anything about them?
Well, kind of like they went on the pure. That they weren't compatible for the highest platform of surrender because they were more in the mood of it's you, the Lord. From your side,
please forgive me. I must forgive me for my offense, don't punish me. And he acknowledged Krishna's position.
Something like that. He wasn't taking the total responsibility for what had happened or for not doing it in the future.
And also he was acknowledging Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as the all-powerful one, saying his own foolishness, and thinking of himself the center of existence. And that I am your eternal servant, and you've come to protect your servants. So, kindly excuse me. And he explained his fault. I created a great disturbance in Vrindavan by thundering torrents of rain and a heavy hailstone. I acted out of severe anger, caused by your stopping the sacrifice, which was to be held to satisfy me. But you're so kind that you bestowed your mercy upon me. So you didn't do anything but allow me to understand my fault. Of course, Indra did more than creating a great disturbance in Vrindavan. He created a great disturbance in Vrindavan, but he tried, basically he was trying to keep everyone in Vrindavan, including the cows, and all the residents of Vrindavan. But Lord Krishna responded to him. He was angry because his sacrifice had been disrupted, Indra was. And Krishna didn't. There's a tendency when someone is angry at us to respond with anger back. It's like a spark igniting something, some other flammable material. But Krishna didn't become angry back. He was supremely tolerant, and he taught Indra in such a way, by his tolerance and by his exhibiting a portion of his unlimited power by lifting over that hill. But he taught Indra in such a way that Indra understood that Krishna was the unlimited Supreme Lord, and therefore the cause of his problem, the cause of his anger. What was the first cause of his anger? That Krishna had stopped the sacrifice meant for him. But the deeper cause of his anger was that he was thinking that this sacrifice is meant for me, because I'm Indra, because I'm the supreme in this universe. How dare he stop me? I will show him who I am. So there was a pride in there. So what Krishna did is not directly move his anger, but he removed the cause of his anger. So that automatically took away his anger.
That would be a real blessing, wouldn't it?
Well, it certainly was.
Maybe he didn't fully remove the cause of his anger because he might have done it again, but to actually understand.
But the idea is that he became angry due to his pride. So he removed his pride, not with more anger, but with tolerance, and exhibiting his unlimited power. So he saw that Indra saw that his power was insignificant to compared to Krishna's power. So therefore his pride went away. I'm insignificant actually compared to Krishna. And therefore as soon as his pride went away, his anger went away. And then so he prayed. So he saw that it was Krishna's mercy that he acted as he had acted by holding up Govardhan Hill. You have bestowed your mercy upon me by destroying all my false pride. And therefore take shelter of your mother's feet. My dear Lord, you are not only the supreme controller, but also the spiritual master of all living entities. So you are the spiritual master of all living entities, as the teacher guru, as the Lord in the heart, the guru in the heart. And therefore you are also my spiritual master, you are my teacher, and you have taught me something very wonderful. So Krishna replied with a grave voice that was like the rumbling of clouds. And he said, I stopped your sacrifice to show you my causeless mercy and to remind you that I am your eternal master. I'm the master not only of you, but also the other demigods. Everyone should remember that whatever opulence they have is due to my mercy. No one can become opulent without being favored by my mercy. So everyone has a particular different abilities, but it is all by Krishna's mercy. And I can show anyone favor, I can chastise them because I'm supremely independent. And sometimes when I see that someone is overpowered by false pride, in order to show them my causeless mercy, I withdraw all his opulences. And then they land on their nose. And it's not pleasant, but it's humbling. So, after instructing Indra, Krishna asked him to return to his kingdom in the heavenly planets. In other words, it's time for you to leave. You can leave now. You cannot stay in Braja. But always remember that you are never the Supreme, but you are subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can remain as King of Heaven, but be careful of false pride. Because pride goeth before the fall. Now, the Saravi cow who had come with Indra now step forward. The transcendental Saravi cow who had come with Indra to see Krishna offered her respectful obeisances unto him and worshipped him. The Saravi offered her prayer as follows. So here's different vision, because Indra had his vision, because we see according to our consciousness. We saw this also in the prayers of Prithu Maharaj. When after Prithu Maharaj defeated the earth, so many different entities, living entities, offered him prayers, and everyone offered prayers according to their own consciousness. So Indra offered prayers according to his consciousness, and Saravi offered her respectful obeisances and her prayers according to her consciousness. So she offered her respectful obeisances unto Krishna and worshipped him. So Saravi offered her prayers as follows. Because our consciousness determines our vision. And our vision, our mindset, determines our prayers. This is what the Saravi cow said. This was her vision. This was her consciousness. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the most powerful of all mystic yogis. Because you're the soul of the complete universe. You're the Atma of the universe. You're the Paramatma. And only from you has all this cosmic manifestation taken place. So what form of the Paramatma is that from point of view of Karana Dakshina Vishnu? The whole cosmic universe, all material creation comes from Karana Dakshina Vishnu, Mahavishnu, and he is the Paramatma of all material existence. And then there's Gobadaksha Vishnu, and all that exists in the universe comes from Gobadaksha Vishnu, so he's the Paramatma of material creation, of every universe, and of, in every living entity, and in every atom, between every atom, there is Gobadaksha Vishnu, so he is the Paramatma of all living entities. And of matter too. So all this cosmic manifestation, the complete you're the soul of the complete universe, and only from you has all this cosmic manifestation taken place. So this is this little boy, Krishna, is there, but yet he's so powerful. Therefore, although Indra tried his best to kill my descendant cows in Vrindavan, they remain under your shelter, and you have protected them all so well. Because Indra is the king of the king of heaven, but Krishna is the Paramatma of all of material existence. So if it comes to a exhibition of power between these two persons in their respective positions, we know who is more powerful. It is Krishna. He is supremely powerful. So you have protected my descendant cows in Vrindavan, and they remain under your shelter. And you protected all of them so well. We do not know anyone else as the supreme, nor do we go to any other god or demigod for protection. Therefore, you are our Indra. You are the supreme father of the whole cosmic manifestation, and you are the protector and elevator of all the cows, Brahmins, demigods, and others who are pure devotees of your lordship. O super soul of the universe, let us bathe you with our milk. You are our Indra, O Lord. You appear just to diminish the burden of impure activities on the earth. So Hamud was quite distant from Indra's mood. What she offered, she wanted to praise Krishna only, but not even to get forgiveness from him, but just to thank him and to offer him. Indra actually didn't offer anything except his obeisances. At this point, later he worships with Aravat, but he wanted to bathe Indra with his milk, with her milk, if you want to make that offering. Then the Sarabi cow bathed Krishna with her milk, and Indra bathed them with the water of the celestial Ganga through the trunk of his carrier elephant. And after this, the Sarabi cows and all the demigods and their mothers joined the heavenly king Indra in worshipping Lord Krishna by bathing him with Ganges water and the milk of the Saravi. So everyone gave Krishna an abhishek in that place. It is very famous as
Govindakund,
because he became the Indra, because this is what Saravi was telling Krishna, that you are the Indra, you are the king of all the cows. And you are our protector, you are our Lord. Why should we go to protection from this other Indra? After all, look what he tried to do. He tried to kill everyone. So why should we seek protection from such a person? We only go to you. So she is acknowledging her full surrender and dependence upon Krishna. And she is fixed in her dependence on Krishna. And she doesn't know anyone else except Krishna as a protector. And this is the mentality of a devotee. Even when a devotee, for practical reasons, he may go to a doctor, or he may do this, or he may do that. But in his doing this and his doing that, his faith isn't in the this or the that. His faith is in Krishna. And he knows that if Krishna wants, the medicine to work, the medicine will work. And if Krishna doesn't want the medicine to work, what to do? It won't work. We can do our part. So Prahlad Maharaj said this, no boat at sea can protect a drowning man. No parent can protect his child. Not that the parent doesn't do his duty, but the result is up to Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate cause of protection for anyone. Upadrashtanamantata bhakti bhakti maheshvara paramatnakti chapyukto dehesmin prusapara. Within everyone's heart is the Supreme Person, Krishna, Purusha-para. And he is the Upadrashta, the overseer, and the Anumanta, the permitter. The Bharta, the master, the Bhokta, the enjoyer, Maheshwara, the Maha-Ishwara. Paramatmiti, Chakrita, he is known as the Paramatma. So, this consciousness is very good. Thus, Govinda, Lord Krishna, was pleased with all of them because they were bathed. He was bathed with the Ganga and the milk of the Sarabi. And he was named, he was given the name of Govinda at that time. The residents of all higher planetary systems, such as Gandhava Loka, Vidyadhara Loka, Siddha Loka, and Charana Loka, all combined to glorify the Lord by chanting his holy name, as their wives and damsels danced with great joy. He very much satisfied the Lord by incessantly pouring flowers from the sky. When everything was very nicely and joyfully settled, the cows overflooded the surface of the earth with their milk. So this is, in one sense, is the end of the Govardhan Puja sacrifice. It is the end of Govardhan Puja, that pastime, because here things returned to normal. All the loose ends were tied up. Indra apologized. Indra was forgiven. He was given a good instruction to avoid pride, to remain always humble. And then he returned back, and Krishna was glorified still more. There is a description of this pastime in Gopal Champu, where Krishna went to, he was at Govindakund, of course it wasn't known as Govindakund at that time, he was there with his dearest cowherd boyfriends, including Madhu Mangal, Sridham Sridham, etc. And Krishna said, I'm just going to go over there, because he wanted to inspect the hill to see what damages have been caused. So he said, he left the boys to one side and he said, I just want to go over here for a few minutes. You just wait. So Krishna went off to a lonely place by what is now Govindakund, while the boys stayed nearby. And there Krishna was giving Indra an opportunity to approach him in private, because he did not want to humiliate him any further. So he went to his private place, and Indra slowly came over and placed his jeweled helmets to the ground and offered these prayers. And then all the demigods, as the Bhagavatam says, as in the Krishna book, said, the demigods, the residents of all the higher planetary systems, such as Gandhava Loka, Vidyadhara Loka, Siddha Loka, and Charana Loka, all combined to glorify the Lord by chanting his holy name as their wives and damsels dance with great joy. So we can just read that, but we can also try to picture what it looked like when this was read by Govindakund, what is now by Govindakund. So there was the Ganga water was coming out of the celestial out of Aravata, who himself was born from an ocean of milk, the ocean of milk. And so Ravi was bathing Krishna, and then all the demigods were there too, from Vijayadara Loka, Gandhava Loka. They were dancing and singing, and there was a great musical tumult as the Abhishek was going on, and they were worshipping Krishna. The Siddha Lokas, they could fly, the Charna Lokas, all these personalities had mystic powers. They all combined and glorified the Lord, so there was a big kirtan where everyone was glorifying Krishna, and there was great dancing with great joy. And then there was an incessant pouring of flowers. So the cowherd boys, they were watching this, and they were watching the Abhishek, and they were watching the demigods with their chamaras fanning Krishna. And they were just watching from the distance and just laughing. And then everyone left, and the cowherd boys came, and still all the umbrellas and all this fancy jeweled paraphernalia was still there. They just left it behind. So the cowherd boys picked it up, and then they started teasing each other, imitating the way that the demigods were carrying on. Like that with Krishna, and Krishna was just laughing with them. And they're playing, they picked up all the paraphernalia, and they brought it to Nanda Maharaj and presented it to him. So then when it was all settled, after the full devastation caused by the great tumult and trouble caused by the anger of Indra, then the cows overflooded the surface of the earth with their milk. The water of the rivers began to flow with various tasty liquids and give nourishment to the trees, producing fruits and flowers of different colors and tastes. So the scene was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. The trees began to pour drops of honey. The hills and mountains began to produce potent medicinal plants and valuable stones. Because of Krishna's presence, all these things happened very nicely. And the lower animals, who were generally envious of one another, were envious no longer. So this is the atmosphere produced by joyful Krishna consciousness. And this is one of the specialities of Krishna consciousness, is that there is no envy. And this is described in when the four Kumaras go to Vaikuntha. And there's a description of all the, there's so many flowers in Vaikuntha. When they were going, they saw all the flowers in Vaikuntha. And they saw that all the flowers, even though there were so many wonderful, fragrant, beautiful flowers, they all honored Tulsi Devi as the most pleasing to Krishna. So even though they were so wonderful, because Tulsi was most pleasing to Krishna, they simply acknowledged her pleasingness, and they weren't envious of her. And Prabhupada said, this is the key to peace, is to have a center, one center. That's the only way there can be peace. When everyone is simply trying to please Krishna, then there's peace. And if someone is purely in that mood, then if another person in some way or another pleases Krishna more than them, they are more interested in Krishna's pleasure. So they serve that person to increase their ability to please Krishna, because they're interested in pleasing Krishna. So even Srimati Radharani is in this mood too, described in the final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. No envy in the spiritual world. And after satisfying Krishna, who was the Lord of all the cows in Vrindavan, and who was known as Govinda, King Andrew took his permission to return to his heavenly kingdom. So he has a kingdom, but it's the heavenly kingdom, but he's not the supreme king. And it's interesting that Krishna is called the Lord of the cows, and Indra is called the King of Heaven in that sentence. So it would seem, who seems higher just by the words? Seems like, because everyone wants to go to heaven. If you're a good boy, you go to heaven, Sava. If you're a bad boy, oh, we don't even want to talk about it, but I'll just give you a hint. It's cold there. Usually for other people it's hot, but for you it would be cold.
Sounds like Slovenia.
Worse, Siberia. So, having Swaga is very nice, but there is still anxiety there. It is very subtle, it is nice, but even there are nicer and subtler places in material existence. Not to speak of the transcendental land of Vrindavan, which is so subtle that it is beyond material existence. Swaga is full of happiness. The depth of peace and subtlety of Mahaloka, Janaloka, Japaloka, and Brahmaloka is incomparable to Swagaloka. There's so much depth of happiness, and those can compare to the bliss, the ecstatic bliss of the Loka Vrindavan, where Krishna is as the king of the cows. The Lord of the cows. And although Krishna used to, when he would go to the forest with the cows, he would have his upon his head, he would have a turban sometimes, and then there would be a peacock feather, a top feather. And he would wear a garland of vanamala, forest flowers, that was so it reached to his knees, and he was decorated by the different colored forest minerals of Vrindavan, and he would be carrying a flute which was tucked, it was under his left arm, and on his right side in the belt he would have a buffalo horn and a stick for controlling the cows. And although Krishna carried a stick with him, and in fact his father, when Krishna started taking out the cows, Nanda Maharaj came from, presented him with a jeweled stick for controlling, for use for herding the cows. And although Krishna always would carry a stick with him, he would never hit the cows with a stick. They were fully obedient to him. Sometimes they would wander away, and he would call them by their names, and they would come back running. So after satisfying Krishna, who was the lord of all the cows in Vrindavan, and was known as Govinda, King Andrew took his permission to return to his heavenly kingdom. So he was out of place in Vrindavan, actually. As Brahma was out of place in Vrindavan, because the mentality is heavenly and for Brahma even more subtle than that. But according to our mentality, we live in one realm or another. It's suitable for us. There are certain people, if they're used to going to horse races, if they're very comfortable in that atmosphere or bars and pubs and casinos, and for a person who has a different type of atmosphere, a religious atmosphere, they're comfortable in a church or a temple or a mosque or something. So they feel it quite at home in that place according to the atmospheres of those places. So Indra and Brahma didn't feel quite comfortable in Vrindavan. because their consciousness wasn't Vrindavan consciousness, the proper consciousness, Vrindavan consciousness, even though these living beings are so exalted, their consciousness is not suitable for Vrindavan. So if we want to go to Vrindavan, we have to make our consciousness suitable for going to Vrindavan. And our whole process of Krishna consciousness, the whole Abhideya Tattva, the process of purification and advancement, is the process of making our consciousness suitable for going to Vrindavan. And then as soon as our consciousness is suitable for being in Vrindavan, then we will be in Vrindavan. And until our consciousness is suitable for being in Vrindavan, we will not be in Vrindavan. So as Indra passed through cosmic space, he was surrounded by all kinds of demigods, because he was their king. Because the king doesn't travel alone, he always has his entourage. This great incident is a powerful example of how Krishna consciousness can benefit the world. Even the lower animals forget their envious nature and become elevated to the qualities of the demigods. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports, purport of the 27th chapter of Krishna, prayers by Indra, the King of Heaven. Let me just read Sarabhi's prayers again. Sarabhi offered her respectful obeisances unto Krishna and worshipped him. She offered her prayers as follows. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the most powerful of all mystic yogis, because you are the soul of the complete universe. And only from you has this cosmic manifestation taken place. So yogis get their powers from someone, from the Lord. This is actually described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, the process of gaining mystic powers by making one's consciousness harmonious with different aspects of the Supreme Lord. So it is you who is the master of all yogis, and to such a degree that all in existence, the cosmic manifestation, it all comes from you. You are so powerful. And therefore, although Indra tried his best to kill all the cows in Vrindavan, they remained under your shelter, and you protected them all so well. So the cows were so attached to Krishna. And when Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill, there was so much pasturing, there was grass for them to eat. And then when it was time for Krishna to put the hill down, the first, after the storm had stopped, the first mission was to remove everyone, had to leave from underneath the hill, because it would have been a problem if you put down the hill and everyone was still under the hill. Some problem would have occurred. So Krishna told the cows he indicated to the cows that they should leave. So they flowed out. All the white surrounding cows flowed from underneath the hill in a great stream, a rushing torrent of cows. They went out of the hill, and then they turned back and they saw, of course, the Krishna was still standing there. So they ran back as quick as they could. Krishna, and no one wanted to leave. They were having such a good time. When you're having a good time, no one wants to go. So you have protected them all so well. We do not know anyone else as the Supreme, nor do we go to any other god or demigod for protection. Therefore, you are our Indra. So you are our protector, you are our king, you are the supreme father of the whole cosmic manifestation, and you are the protector and elevator of all the cows, Brahmins, demigods, and others who are pure devotees of your lordship. You're the protector and elevator. You bring them to the highest position. O super soul of the universe, let us bathe you with our milk, because cows, this is what they have. They have milk. So they want to offer what they have to Krishna. You are our engine. So peacocks offer what they have, cows offer what they have, bees offer what they have, deer offer what they have, trees offer what they have for Krishna's pleasure, vines offer what they have for Krishna's pleasure, and humans try to take everything for themselves. So that's...
But not there.
Huh?
But not there.
No. So the Saravi cow wanted to offer her milk for Krishna's pleasure, because you are our Indra, you are our protector, you are our king. Oh Lord, so that's because Indra means like king. So it's nice to think of the king's position as protector, and it's unfortunate that when we think of the king or governmental leaders, we generally don't think of them as our protectors. We think of them as other things, but not protectors. We think of them in very condescending ways and not a trustworthy person. And this is a tendency. The people are longing for true kings who give true protection. Because the central government that gives protection, that's the job of the government to protect the citizens, not to exploit them for taxes and increase their salaries. You appear, she said, just to diminish the burden of impure activities on the earth. So impure activities to increase impure activities or sinful activities especially, they increase the burden of the earth. That increases the suffering of the earth. So Krishna especially came to remove the burden of the earth, which is so many demonic forces were causing so much trouble on the earth. There was like a conspiracy with so many powerful asuras had taken birth on the earth. Kamsa, Dharasandha, all the Dhanukasura, one after another, Trinavarta, all of them. There was a huge amount of heavy asuric personalities had taken birth on the earth. And the earth herself had complained in the form of a cow too. She had complained to Brahma, and Brahma and the demigods went to the ocean of milk, and therefore to remove the burden of the earth, it was decided that Krishna would come. Okay. This great incident is a powerful example of how Krishna consciousness can benefit the world. Even the lower animals forget their envious nature and become elevated to the qualities of the demigods. So how does Krishna consciousness stop even a lower animal from being envy?
It's lodged in the heart. Can dictate their whereabouts.
So if Krishna consciousness is, if someone becomes Krishna conscious, the Lord just takes away their envy, shreds it.
All the good qualities become again manifested, and devotees are Nirmal Saranam, so free from envy.
being envious means to see another and to be desirous of the circumstance of their position.
Or wish, at least wish they can have it.
So, compassion pious means to acknowledge Krishna's position and to suffer with him and pleasure in your relationship with him. So
and to gain pleasure.
Gain pleasure. So the envy is disappointed.
Yeah, when you're happy. When you're satisfied, then there's no question. Because envy springs from the great dissatisfaction of the heart.
Mm. Mm.
So when that's cured, when the essence of a material disease, which causes a great dissatisfaction, which is basically born out of false ego, as soon as there's false ego, then there's dissatisfaction. Or angry, proud and angry, and envious.
Angry.
Out of false ego, all those lust, anger, greed, etc., moha, mother, matsarja, all born out of false ego. They just necessarily must be there out of false ego. And on the other hand, when there's real ego, then those qualities don't exist. And everyone just satisfied cutting leaves. Clean leaves. Huh? Especially when there's a lot of comments.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot.
Okay, tomorrow you get there.
How many leaves do we need?
2,500.
And how many are taking it today?
A good number. Mm-hmm.
Looks like about
2,000 little bonfire
balls. A little branch worth.
It's like 63 leaves this year from here. Wow. If wealth were leaves, we'd be wealthy.
Yeah. Well, we've got a few more of them outside. We started with probably 2 meters out of 15. It's 15 meters altogether. No, it's 13 meters. So you keep talking and we'll keep cutting you. We're all non-envious. One center. I'm glad you can end this if anyone else sleeps.
They're all meant for the supreme tree.
What I liked about Saravi's prayers was two things. One was that she started by glorifying Krishna's famous yogic mystic.
Mm.
And in relationship to him was the source of the creation.
Yeah.
Quite amazing. I think of the creation of the mystical aspect.
Mm. This is interesting. I mean,
yesterday I was reading something like that, I don't know if I can find somehow somebody was explaining scientifically the speed, well, it's not much of an issue of Prabhupada, but the speed that the sun is moving at and the speed that the earth is moving at, and we don't feel like we're moving at all.
It's mystical, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're sitting here and everything's still, you know, and a car moves or a horse moves, but we just sit still.
That's right, you can see it. You can see before dawn. You can see, like, if the moon came up just before dawn, it's still dark. You can see, like, it's open out, moves not that much.
Yeah.
We can notice it then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you realize that there's actually motion taking place.
Yeah.
So Shirali says that this is the creation of the mystic.
Of the supreme mystic.
Doesn't Kunti Devi say something like that about
Krishna Mahayogin Vishatman Vishvasambhava Bhata Lokanatena Sanatavayam Achyuta. Quite poetic. You are the greatest of mystics, Mahakrishna Krishna Mahayogi. Vishvatma, the soul of the universe, Vishvasambhava.
That's why he's a Mahayogi.
Yeah. Origin of the universe, Vishvasambhava.
It's incredible that modern intellect can take such a mystical creation and try and reduce it to mechanism, isn't it? Mechanism from just
the bluff.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's incredible. Also the impersonal is also incredible because it's illusion. It's not actually there. I'm trying to figure that one out.
What's even more amazing is that when you're with them, and you're talking to you, even though you don't agree with them, they're very powerful. The power behind their perception, it's just when you're doing them. And they have a presence of the reality that is the idea of their own power. Otherwise, how is it that the whole world is believing like that? Not just a few isolated people. The whole educational system has been built into it.
Yeah.
And people don't ask.
She says, Tvam na paramakam daivam, you are a worshipable deity. Tvam na indro dhyaktite, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the demons, and demigods, and all of the sacrifices, please become our Indra.
She's brought there by Indra, but she's calling upon Krishna every time.
Yeah.
Indra.
Three verses she speaks.
I also like the way that she makes it in relationship with cows.
Yeah.
Because like if you're in a group and you want to find someone, then actually you'll speak from your relationship with that person, your experience or appreciation of that individual. So she can speak in relationship to
after he had ceremonially bathed Govinda, who was the master of the cows in the cow community. Iti go Gokula Partim Govindam Abhi Sityachitsa Anugito Yayo Sakro Vito Deva Videvam. After he had ceremonially bathed Lord Govinda, who is the master of the cows and the cow community, King Indra took the Lord's permission. And surrounded by the demigods and other higher beings, returned to his heavenly abode. People nowadays, they don't like, some of them talk up and think about higher beings. There's actually whole groups of people talk and think about higher beings, but the ordinary people, as opposed to the extraordinary people, I think that's peculiar, that there are higher beings. So if there's no higher beings, then who's the highest being?
Me.
And they think they're the highest being, which is depressing. The highest beings are not the best that the world has to offer.
Oh, human intellect is the greatest intellect in creation.
That's what we've made.
Huh?
Computers.
Computer games.
It takes a great intellect to destroy a planet.
Yeah.
Television.
Yeah. We're so powerful, we even melt the solar. Antarctica.
If not, we can rent, we can sell it on the real estate market. If people can.
And now we could have just some other company. They're selling space tourism. Sending people to the shuttle and stuff like that for only like, I can't remember how much. First people went was like millions of dollars. Now it's down to like only a couple hundred thousand or something.
To go up to the
space tourist.
Take
it, you can think about it, obviously. Think of space tourists.
Take it, you already have a space tourist.
You could ask them if they give it up. You could give them a pension and discount.
Yeah,
we'll just keep the seniors guard out.
Govinda, 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 Govin